All right, it is good to see you today, Sunday, July the 3rd, 2022. Tomorrow is the 4th of July, Independence Day, amen? And what a day we get to celebrate. We've got something that no other country seems to have, and that is joy in the Lord. And we've got something today we need to be thankful for. And I want to show you something. Today, the lesson series we've been doing, this is lesson number 4 in this series entitled, Where is Your Church Going? This is out of the book of 1 Timothy. And today, I want you to see some things. We've been talking about some of the problems that are involved in church ministry. But you know what? There are problem-resolving priorities that we need to place in our church ministries. Problem-solving priorities. Now, I want you to look at this. Brother Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 1. This is our theme verse for today. He said, I exhort thee therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I want to look at this thing today, and if I could sum up this whole lesson, I'd sum it up in just these few words. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. Let me ask you this morning, when problems come your way, or when discouragements come your way, or situations come your way and you just don't know what to do, how many of you take time to earnestly pray unto God for wisdom as to how you need to handle that situation? You know what? So many times we fail to go to the Lord in prayer. I heard one man answer one time when I told him he needed to take time to pray about a certain situation. He said, what? Do you mean it's come down to that? And I said, yeah, it's come down to that. You need to take time to pray. Dr. Lee Robertson used to teach us, and he said, all of our failures are prayer failures. And I never really understood what he was talking about that until I was in ministry. But he said, all of our failures are prayer failures. I've got a little poem I keep in my Bible, and I put it in your bulletin today. But I want to take time to read this to you today. It's entitled, No Time to Pray. Should be in your bulletin. I believe this is, yep. It said this, it said, I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Folks, listen to me today. We need prayer as a priority in our lives. We look at all the problems around us today. We see all the situations going on in our world. We see how that things around us are just going helter-skelter in every direction, it seems like. And we wonder, what do we need to do? We need to start with prayer. We need to take it to God. So many times that prayer time alone with God is just not a priority in many people's lives. But we need to make that time alone with God a priority. This morning when I got up, I woke up about 4 o'clock and I was still asleep on the recliner. The last thing I remembered last night, Precious and I had finished a bowl of orange sherbet ice cream. And I was sitting there and we have a little Roku and I was watching an old, I think it was 1954, Superman and Batman series. And that, oh, it was funny. It was just all black and white and all this stuff. And Precious was laying there, recliner beside me. She'd already gone to sleep. She pulled up a blanket. You know it's pretty bad when the dog brings up a blanket to you and lays down beside you. And you know it's time to go to bed. But I just sat there for a little while. It was about 10:30. And I don't remember anything after that until about 4 o'clock this morning. And when I got up this morning, Precious had gone to bed. She was laying on my pillow. And she looked at me like, hey, you didn't take it, so I did. But I got up this morning, I was praying for folks. I was just thinking this morning, you know, how good God has been to us as a country. And I got to thinking about how that this country has been so blessed by God. So blessed. And yet it seems the more that time goes on, the further and further we drift away from the Lord. And folks, we need to turn back to God. We need to take time to spend time in prayer with God. You know, instead of posting squabbles and disputes on Facebook and telling everybody our problems on Facebook and all this other mess, we need to just be going to God and just take time to spend with Him. Post it on God's Facebook. Let Him know that you got a burden. Let Him know you've got somebody that needs to be saved. Let Him know that there's a burden upon your heart that only He can resolve if we will but go to Him and ask Him about it. I want to encourage you today to take time. The priority in problem solving. We're going to look at this lesson today. I want us to think about what Paul was telling Brother Timothy here. And again, when I think about this man writing this letter to Timothy, he is sitting on death row. He's in a jail cell. And his desire is not to earn pity for himself. His desire is to encourage the man of God that's going to be preaching in the church there in Ephesus. He's going to be pastoring these people. And Paul is trying to encourage him to stay faithful. And when you have problems, here's what you need to do. You take it to God. You lay the burdens at the feet of the risen Savior. I want you to look at this today. Setting priorities in one's life is a very essential part of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to learn and understand what we can bear and what only Christ can bear. And God has promised that He will never lay on us more than what we can bear. And yet we, as stubborn as we are sometimes, will say to the Lord, no, Lord, I can handle this. I can do this. And you know what? Sometimes I think how stupid we really are to not just take it to the Lord and leave it there. He told us, he said, book of 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's in verse number 7. He said, casting all your care upon Him. All your worries, all your care. Why? Because He careth for you. He wants us to cast it on Him. Down south, they pick a lot of cotton. And I don't know if you've ever seen a cotton bag, but it's real long. It's like a long tube. And it can be 20 feet long or more. And you strap it across yourself, depending on what hand you're picking with and stuffing with. And usually, you know, things like that would be on my left side. And you pick it and throw it, pick it and throw it, shake it, pick it, throw it. And it comes to a point when you get down to the end of a line, you need to take that bag and empty it out. And some folks like to show how tough they are. And cotton is heavy. You get a bag full of cotton and it gets heavy. And man, they're trudging in there trying to drag that cotton. When what they needed to do was just empty it out, leave it there and get a new bag and go down the next row. And you can go quicker. You can go faster. You don't have to stay there all day long. And folks, that's what many a Christian does. They want to carry that burden. See how long they can carry it without taking it to God. As the man told me before, what? You mean it's gotten down to prayer? Folks, we need to take it to God immediately. I have learned that there is nothing too small to take unto the Savior. There is no burden too small that He cannot carry. He wants us to cast all of our cares upon Him. Why? Because He careth for us. Now, I want us to look at this today. Paul was teaching Timothy to cast his burdens upon God. Because sometimes in the ministry, you get to thinking, man, nobody cares for me. But God does care. He's there. He wants to be there. We've got to recognize the fact that He is there. And we have to take those things to Him. If we're not careful, the devil will get us all distracted. And pretty soon, we'll find ourselves putting out more fires than doing anything about what we say we want to do for the Lord. And you know, when Moses was trying to lead the people, his father, Jethro, went to him and said, Moses, son, you're going to kill yourself doing all this. You need to appoint men that you can trust to take some of these burdens and some of these things, and the rest of it you take and you go to the Lord about. Moses didn't see it that way. But God told Moses, He said, you know what? Jethro's right. You need to take the advice that your father-in-law has given you and bring me those things that you can't handle. And folks, today, Paul, in this letter, he's making prayer and supplication unto God a priority in the part of this letter that he's writing to Timothy. I want to encourage you, take time to pray. Listen, we have these prayer lists out here for you every week. I noticed this past week, I had several that I threw away because nobody picked them up. Don't cease to pray for folks. Pick them up. Take time to pray for somebody just besides yourself, okay? All right? I know we all pray for ourselves, do we not? I hope you do. But you need to take time to pray for some others. But take up a prayer list and begin to see some of the heartaches and the burdens that others are going through. And boy, it'll keep you close to God. It'll keep you close to God. Let's look at some of the lesson today that Paul encouraged Timothy about. He showed him that there are going to be two problems that come into church ministry. Two types of problems. One is internal and the other is external. But they all deal with human beings. Each one of us are human beings. And you know what? Sometimes we don't want to be a problem, but sometimes we cause problems ourselves, don't we? And you know what? When we do that, and we fail to do that which is right in God's eyes, we need to be man enough, or you ladies are the ladies, be woman enough to stand up to God and say, God, you know what? I was wrong. I did something wrong. Or, Lord, I didn't handle this right. Or, Lord, I didn't come to you in prayer like I should have. And get it right. I want you to look today, number one, the problems. I want you to look, first of all, at the internal problems that Paul talks to Timothy about today. Look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the promise or the prophecies which went out went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul had written to his son in the faith, back in verse number 8 of this chapter. And he said this. He said, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And now here again in verses 18 through 20, he reminds Timothy. He reminds Timothy of the problem that those within the church body who had chosen not to adhere to sound doctrine. Now they chose to turn away from truth. They chose to turn away from teaching that was right and biblical. They made their decision, okay? They made a decision. They had not only been deceived by the devil to distort the word of God, but they were now causing others within the body of Christ to be deceived as well. And boy, that's a sad situation. When folks turn away from the word of God, and then their goal is not to get right with God, but their goal is to make themselves look better than everybody else. And they turn others away from God. They distort truth. And such was the situation with these two men who seem to have been at the heart of this problem, Hymenaeus and Alexander. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell what they did, doesn't tell what they said. I have no clue what they did. But evidently it was enough that Paul knew, and he wanted to remind Timothy, watch out for these fellas. Be careful of them. And it must have really caused a lot of problems within the church, and most likely with a desire for people to repent of sin. Because Paul informs Timothy here, he said, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. When one undermines the word of God and causes others to depart from true doctrine and the true teachings of the word of God, that's a serious matter with God. It ought to be a serious matter to each of us. And folks, listen, there are folks today that have been deceived, turned away by those who teach other doctrines. And boy, there are folks today in our world that have been so deceived, it seems as if they just can't even discern truth from fiction anymore. And we need to be cautious of that. We need to make sure that we stay in the Word of God and bathe things with prayer, especially when we don't know what to do. It was because of these internal problems that Paul, he charged Timothy with this statement. He said, I want you to war a good warfare. He didn't say, I want you to quit. He said, I don't want you to give up. He didn't say that. He said, you're in a battle, son. Stand up, put on your big boy britches, and fight a good fight. Folks, this is the day that we have to do that in our world today. This is the day. In the past few weeks, we have seen how vile people can be. They're still wanting, and they're still making it available today, the right to abort little babies right here in the state of Maryland and give folks the they call it the right to choose to take someone else's life that has not the power to defend themselves. Folks, this week, I was even told that in one of the public schools that they have started putting out in the bathrooms, litter boxes in the bathrooms. Litter boxes. Because some of the children now may come in and feel that they are a cat or an animal, and they can use that. And some of the school systems have started doing this. And folks, listen to me. I tell you this today because this is reality. This is the world that we are living in today. And one thing always leads to another thing. But if we will stay in the truth of God and love folks and pray for them, they need the Lord Jesus. Our world needs the Lord Jesus. It's not a time for us to stop and give up and quit and say, you know what, the Lord's coming one day, I'm just going to sit here and wait for Him. That's not what we need to war a good warfare until the Lord Jesus takes us out of here. Amen? We need to stay faithful unto God. Look what He said. He said, this charge I commit unto thee. He said, "Son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee." What is he saying? He said, "Son, remember your calling. Remember your calling. War a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience." The calling to preach that God placed upon this young man, Timothy, was indeed a solemn duty. To pastor a church is a solemn duty. That's why we need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for those on staff. We need to pray for one another in Sunday school classes, in the bus routes. Listen, I've told men that wanted, they ask and they say, "Well, what do I need to do to learn how to be a good pastor?" I said, "There's two things that you need to do. Number one, be a soul winner and get your converts to church. Number two, be a bus worker, be a bus worker, be a bus captain. Because there you will learn how to pastor your people. You'll learn how to do that." Listen to me today, folks. You need to remember what God has saved you to do. God didn't save us to live like the devil. He didn't save us to live and to look and to act and to walk and to talk like the world. He saved us to be different. He saved us to be a light in a dark world of sin. And that's what we've got to do today. We need to remember where God called us. Then number two, look what he said. He said, "Be a good soldier." Look at this. "That thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Timothy was to be a good soldier, not a bad soldier, not a cowardly soldier. Listen, not a dishonorable soldier, but he was to be a good soldier. He was to war a good warfare. He was to be found faithful. Listen, when I die, and when the Lord takes me out of this place, I'm praying he doesn't do that. I'm praying that he just takes us all out at one time with a great calling from above. But should the day come that I die, I want my family, I want my church family to look at that old carcass laying in a casket and say, "Bless his heart, he stayed faithful to the end. He was faithful. I want to be found faithful." Many like the uniform of a soldier. Many like the way it looks, but few are willing to wear that uniform into a battle. They want to look like a good soldier, but they don't want to fight like a good soldier. And folks, we need to stand and fight today as a good soldier. Listen, if we didn't have farmers and you know, family men and biblical standing church men to stand up, this country would not be the country we have today. You need to go back and look at history. There was a day when the pastor stood up and said, "You know what, we're going to battle. How many other men will go with me to fight for freedom for their country?" You don't see that today. You see today churches that they put on a big show. The house is full, but God's field is empty. And nobody's willing to go and tell anybody about Christ today. Folks, we're in a warfare today with Satan, and Satan wants to take as many people to hell as he can. And what God needs is some soldiers to go out and tell them how that they can be saved. And then he encourages Timothy in this phrase in verses 19 through 20. He said, "Don't ever let go. Don't ever let go." Look what he said. "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, had made shipwreck." Timothy was not only needed to know what he needed to know to hold on to, but he actually needed to hold on to that faith. I know of folks today that have taken their Bible. I remember when I was a young boy, and one of our youth pastors, one of the men that preached in our youth church, I remember him coming in one day, and he laid his Bible on his pulpit, and he said, I'm done. And he walked away. I'd never seen anything like that. And as far as I know, that man never went back into another pulpit and preached. He left his Bible laying on that pulpit. He'd gotten discouraged. He had been fighting battles. But he quit. And folks, I don't want to quit. I'm not going to quit. By God's grace, I don't want to quit. We need to hold on. Don't let go. When we are up against the devil, and we're going to be, these days are coming. The days are coming, folks. It's going to separate what we consider the men from the boys, okay? The women from the snowflakes, okay? It's going to separate. The battles are going to come. But you and I are going to have to stand upon something that does not change. And that is the Word of God. There are things happening in our country today that we have never thought would ever happen. But Jesus said all these things must come to pass before He could come back again. We're seeing those things happen. Precursors of those things. Paul encouraged Timothy. He said, Timothy, don't just say you know what you believe, but hold on to it. Stand fast to it. Don't let those things discourage you. He was to hold it tight and to never let it go, even as Solomon instructed his son. Over in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13, Solomon said this. He said, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Instruction in righteousness. The writer of the book of Hebrews said this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know what? God is faithful to his promises. Not only to the child of God is God faithful, but God is faithful to those who refuse to stand fast to God's word. There's judgment coming one day for those folks. And you know what? I would not want to be in their shoes when they stand before God. I would not want to be in the shoes of those men of God who have failed to teach their people the truth of the scriptures when they stand before God. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Folks, God has saved us and given us this ministry for one purpose and one purpose only. And that is to be found faithful and to distribute the Word of God, to give it out to others that need it, and to let them know that there's mercy and grace at the feet of Jesus. We need to show them that today. The message of the gospel is our world's only hope. Therefore, you and I must give out that gospel. And Paul was encouraging Timothy, son, you think it's bad now. Wait, it's going to get worse. Because not only are there internal problems, but there are external problems. If the Bible, or if the devil cannot stir up the saints of God to have discord among themselves, then he'll stir up the outside folks that don't know God to bring discord to the church family. Listen to what he said. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he said, I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, he didn't say second, he didn't say third, he said, but I exhort thee that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now you think about what he's saying here. Because of all that was happening both inside the church as well as outside its doors, Paul starts out this second chapter by writing to Timothy. He said, I exhort thee, I beg, I plead with you, because of all of these things, make prayer a priority. First of all, folks, when the devil attacks and all seems to disappear, all hope disappears, bow the knee and go to God in prayer and supplication unto Him. Take time to pray. I want you to see here the priority. Look at it, the components of prayer. There are four basic components of prayer that Paul urges Timothy to consider here. And I want us to consider it today as well. Number one, supplications. Look what he said. I exhort thee therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made. You say, preacher, what is a supplication? A supplication is an earnest appeal. It is a humble request. It is when we go to God and we say, God, I've got no place else to turn but unto you. And we go to God for a certain thing, which the one making that supplication and making the request realizes that they cannot provide for themselves. Folks, there are situations that we cannot figure out a means to correct. There are things that we have to realize that only God can do. And we have to be willing to take those things to God. We have to take those things. A supplication is made to one who is known to have the power and the ability to provide for that which is needed. Listen, I can't go to my governor and ask for him to say something that's going to encourage people not to do wrong. But I can pray for him. I can't change his heart. I can't change our president's heart. I can't change our vice president's heart. But God can. And you know what? We need to make our supplications known unto God for leadership. Look what else he said. We need to take our supplications and prayers. A prayer is a specific petition unto God that's in either verbal words or quiet thought. And we take it to God. It's a petition. It is something we sometimes we go to God and we only pray, gimme, 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 because my name is Jimmy, okay? But you know what? We need to offer prayers unto God of thanksgiving and praise unto Him. Listen, before I tell my wife that the bread was burned, I want to tell her how good the meat was, okay? Okay? You know, we need to go to God in supplication and in prayers of thanksgiving. Look what he said. We need to give thanks. We need to offer prayers of praise unto the Lord for His goodness and for His mercy. Listen, folks, we still live in a country where we can do this. We still have it better. Danny texted me this past week with these words. He said, I'm free. And he had a long E on the end of it. He had finally been released from his imprisonment of being separated because of the COVID situation there in China. Now, he left here on the 4th of June. Okay? We're talking almost a month. He was free. And I thought, you know what? We live in a country where we're free. And we fail to thank God for that. We need to take time to thank God. We need to offer prayers unto the God that has answered our prayers and our supplications. And we need to praise Him for what He's done for us. And then we need to offer up intercessions unto God. What is an intercession? It's a type of communication unto God on the behalf of those who may or may not be able to offer their needs up unto God for themselves. When we intercede for someone, we go in their stead, in their place. And when we offer up intercessions, we are going to God and saying, God, I thank you. I praise you that you hear the prayers of your children, because, God, I got to pray for some folks today that are not your children. Lord, I want to pray for those leaders, those in authority, our state, our local government, our nation, our world today, because, God, they need to be saved. Jesus when they mocked him and they railed upon him and they accused him of blasphemy and all these other things, when he's hanging on the cross, they're spitting at his feet and they're making just all kinds of fun and mocking him. What did he do? He offered up intercession unto his Father for them. And he prayed and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Folks, that's the type of heart that we need to have today for those that need to be saved, for those who are going through heartaches and burdens. Listen, prayerful intercession is usually for the sake of others, and it suggests a close love or relationship between the one in need and the one making the need made known unto God. In Romans chapter number 8, the Bible said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. When we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to say unto God, the Spirit of God gives us help with that. And listen to what he said, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We need to offer up intercessions. We need to offer up supplications. We need to offer up prayers unto God. But then fourthly, we need to offer up thanksgiving unto God. Paul calls here the giving of thanks for his divine goodness and his mercy. You know what? A thankful heart, it is a blessing to God. I'm grateful when my children thank me for something. Okay? I was late getting our son and daughter-in-law their anniversary gift because we were still trying to create it. We were doing it through our Glowforge thing. And we were doing some etching in the glass for them, a silhouette type thing, a picture in glass of them as they were getting married. And it took me several days to get this thing done and get it done right. And when we were done with it, we mailed it up there. And our daughter-in-law, she sent it a note back to Lisa and she said, I just want to say thank you for this. It's beautiful. She looked beyond the little mistakes I did in it, okay? And she said, thank you, thank you. And you know what? When we go to God and we say, thank you, Lord, for the little things. Thank you, dear God, for giving me that bread to eat today. Thank you, God, for taking care of my gas bill today. And it cost $50 to mow my yard today to fill up 10 gallons of gas. It cost you $50 to mow your yard. But thank God that he gave you the money to do it. Amen. Hey, we need to take time to thank God. Be careful for nothing, he wrote in Philippians chapter 4. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We see here the extent of the prayers. But then we look at the scope of prayer. Who are we to pray for when we go to God? Look what he said. He said, for kings and for all that are in authority. In Paul's day, Paul urged Timothy to pray for those in the church at Ephesus, but he also urged him to pray for those who were in authority over them. Think about it. Nero, the one that lit up his walkway with the heads of Christians, the bodies of slain Christians. Paul said, you pray for that man. He needs to be saved. Hey, listen, we are to pray for those folks today in authority, those that rule over us, those that do evil because they do those things that a lost man would do. Lost people do what lost people do. They need to be saved. We need to pray for them. Then he shows us the objective of prayer. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I'm sorry, I think it's verses 1 through 8 here. He said in 1 Timothy, he said that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, not just some, not just the rich, not just those that can benefit your church, but all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And then he said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That was in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Now let me ask you today, what is our main objective of prayer, folks? Is it just to get things selfishly? Is it just to get what we want for ourselves? That is not what God is asking us to pray for. Number one, we're to pray that we might have a quiet and peaceable life. A quiet and peaceable life. Number two, it's for the spreading of the gospel to those who need it most. Folks, we will have a quiet and peaceable life if folks are saved and living in the Word of God. But the problem today is most people don't know Christ, and they need to be saved. And folks, listen, if it were not for the spreading of the gospel, where would you and I be today? If somebody had not come our way and told us the gospel, what could our families be like today? Hey, listen, today we need to take time to pray and allow God to use us to be a light in our dark world of sin. And what a time it is, as it is today, when it seems darkest in our country, for you and I to shine in the light of prayer. Let's pray just a minute. Father, Lord, I know that the lesson today is one that our country needs. It's one that we as individual Christians need. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to put a priority on our prayer life, spending time alone with you. Oh God, let us do that today. Let us pray the right way. Let us pray for those who need someone to lift them up in prayer. And I pray, God, if there be anybody here today in this class or listening to the sound of my voice that's lost in sin and does not know you as their Savior, I pray, God, that you'll draw them unto you that they might be saved. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.